Welcome to He Changed the World from Forest Baptist Church, a series of talks about Jesus Christ from Mark's Gospel, recorded by me, David Last. Talk number 31, No Fear of Loss. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 through to verse 38. Have you lost anything recently? Keys, wallet, USB drive, your hearing, your memory. Our lives have many things we lose, and some losses are far more painful than others. The worst of all being the people we lose. At the end of Mark chapter 8, Jesus' team fear losing him. After all, in the months they spent with Jesus, they felt more alive than at any other time in their lives, seen things they've never seen before, felt things they've never felt before. Working with and for Jesus has been thrilling. However, they don't fear losing him simply because life will become boring. They fear it because of their conviction about him. They've learned to call him Messiah or Christ. Two words from two languages meaning the same thing. The anointed king whom God has sent to save the world. Do you believe there could be such a person? It's hard, isn't it? Given our typical cynicism about leaders. It's true that in the UK there's still some memory of allegiance to a monarch. If you join the army, become an MP, or take up citizenship, then you swear an oath which promises allegiance to the Queen. But even if you're a royalist who feels devotion to Elizabeth II, surely even you don't think of the Queen as irreplaceably sent by God. We can't imagine a leader like that. But Jesus' friends see him in that way, which means a recent statement by him has sent them into dismay. What did he say? My enemies are going to kill me, and there's nothing you can do about it. They couldn't believe it, and one of their leaders, Peter, told him so. But Jesus simply looked him in the eye and told Peter, never to say that again, because it's devilish wickedness. He told him to get in line. He said he had to die. But why would Jesus say such a thing about himself? Well, firstly, because it's true. But also because in these discussions, he's trying very hard to teach his disciples to think differently. To understand that God's king must be like no other. He wants them to grasp that his plan is not to become rich and honoured and to command great power and have a long life. That Jesus' work as king is to die, to lay down his life. To get rid of all self-concern and self-interest and serve others to the very end of his strength. A different type of king. Yet how can that possibly work? What's the point in a king who dies young, having apparently achieved little? Jesus' explanation is this: resurrection. After 3 days, I will rise again, he says, return from the dead. Jesus insists that God will give him back his life after his murder. And that changes everything. Can you believe that? The disciples couldn't. Resurrection is fine as a far-off idea, isn't it? You know, it sounds great if at some distant point at the end of time, once we've all had a nice life in the here and now, we get to come back. Tell me about resurrection when I'm old, but not when I'm 20 or 30, with life ahead of me. And that's these guys with Jesus. They are young, most of them. They don't need talk of resurrection. They want to talk of winning battles, having success, beating their enemies, not being beaten by them. You can't die they say to Jesus. I must, says Jesus, and you're talking foolishness. If you prioritise the here and now, he says, you may lose everything you value. I mean, picture it. You know, imagine a different scenario. Imagine you struggle to have a good life, to work hard at your job, to earn decent money, to get a nice house, to find the right partner, to have a family, to look after your health, and you pull it off for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years with the odd glitch along the way. So what? It's all temporary. Your money, house, partner, family, they're all going away. Putting a decent life in the here and now first is short-term thinking. That's Jesus' point. Try to understand what he's saying. He's not saying these things are bad. He's not saying it's bad to seek a life that's well-lived. A good life now is something to be grateful to God for. But if you prioritise it, what are you left with in the end? Nothing. Whereas Jesus, he offers infinitely more through resurrection. If you can grasp what he says, then you can step up to a bigger life. That's what he's telling his disciples. They need to listen to Jesus and watch him live a lovingly selfless life, giving himself for others and not fearing death. What do you think? What are you most careful not to lose? And isn't it true that you will lose it in the end? So doesn't Jesus' invitation to find a greater life sound appealing? Worth investigating? Thanks for watching. Have a listen to the passage now as it's read out, and then take time to think and to talk to Jesus in prayer. Ask him to show you the truth of his offer. And then I hope you'll come back for the next video.
Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.